since that was live, yeah, you guys can meet as many people. I thought it was live.
No, it wasn't live. Now it is. Go see Nettie for Where to Meet tomorrow night at 6:30?
Yes.
6:30, so.
We have Epic Times there.
Epic Times!
Epic Times will be there, and John Matthew will talk about ballot harvesting, see if that works for conservatives or not.
Okay, so we're talking about ballot harvesting, see if it works or not. That's a good one. That's controversial.
Makes people mad. For conservatives, if it works.
For us.
Yeah, if it works for us or not.
Okay, that's gonna be good. I'm gonna be there. Can you give me my, All right, I want to hear all the evidence because I want to know what works because we're in California, right, you guys? So we can't mess around with what doesn't work. We got to make sure it works. Okay, so today we're going to talk about our supernatural duty. You know, last month, we were at the Babies Lives Matter rally, and a friend of mine spoke as well. And, you know, he mentioned something that really struck me in my heart. He said that after Roe v. Wade was struck down, he was expecting his church to be very joyful about it, very, you know, happy that that ruling went by. And he said, nothing from the pastor, nothing from the elders.
Wow.
And I was kind of heartbroken to hear that. Because I thought that was a very solid church, you know, and I'm not passing judgment and saying that they aren't. I'm just saying that maybe we got like priorities misaligned and stuff like that, right? And so I went and looked, and several other people came to me that, you know, I shared my video with of my talk at the Babies Lives Matter rally. And they were saying like, wow, that's really good. I didn't hear anything from my church. Like it never happened. And I was like, wow, I don't believe this. I don't. And I think what we gotta do as Christians is really rearrange what it means to have a duty. So when I was in Bible school, one of my teachers, like, look, man, I always sat in the front just so I can like absorb everything. And so I got picked on the most because I was in the front, right? And he already picked on me so many times before, but this time he looks at me and he goes, hey, when you were born, what were you born into? And I'm like, hospital? And he goes, yes, but what thing were you born into? I'm like, yeah, that's my next answer. Sin? He's like, true. No, but what were you born into? And I'm like, what is he trying to get at? And so basically he said, you think you're born into a vacation. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he says, look, Christians, when they want to do ministry and when they go to church, they just look for things that will bless them. And I was like, oh yeah, you're right. It's like, what's the most convenient place? What's the closest? What's not out of my way? What, they don't pressure me to do anything. They don't. And he's like, yes, that's true. And he looks at me and he goes, you weren't born into a vacation, you were born into a war. You have a duty to accomplish on the earth. God gave you assignments to accomplish. And I said, wow. And he's like, the reason you're here is because you want to call other people to do the same thing. And it really struck a chord in me and I said, yes, you're speaking the truth, you're speaking prophetically, because I didn't tell you that. God knows my heart and he's telling you and you're telling me and he's like, correct. And we have to do something about it. And that was in 2005 and it's more true today than it was back then. And so let's talk about supernatural duty. I just watched this, another infuriating video of Dr. Jordan Peterson. You guys know that guy?
Yes.
Okay, I really like him, by the way. But this video was infuriating because he was calling out the Christian church. And he goes, yeah, I'm talking about Catholics, Orthodox, and Protestants, which are the worst. And I was like, oh, I got kind of offended. I'm like, we're the worst, huh? But he went on to say that it's like the church has capitulated so much that we have, you know, what I call the 11th commandment, you know? We have the Ten Commandments, but we have an 11th commandment is always be nice. And because we're always nice, we capitulate to things that God says no to. That is, he's very clear cut about. Like, think about all the infiltration. There's this Lutheran church up the street on town. They're flying the LGBTQ flag up there now, you know, outside. And again, you know, don't be misconstrued. We love all people, especially LGBTQ, because I believe they're just deceived, right? They're deceived into a lifestyle that they think that's going to make them happy, but it truly doesn't. The only thing that's going to make them happy is Jesus. And so you're flying allegiance to an idea that God says no to, that says it's detrimental, that's sinful. And so, you know, you've seen that. You've seen people capitulate to the vaccine scare, the COVID thing. And, you know, with my friends and everybody, and people that have taken the money from the COVID are more capitulating to, or they're capitulating more to the narrative on the media, right? And so I'm like, wow, we're bombarded with certain things, and we forgot that it's our duty to uphold the truth. I play a lot of Call of Duty. I've been playing a lot of Call of Duty lately because my son Kairos, he's 9 and he wants to play it, so I'm not going to let him play it by himself. He's going to play with me because there's a lot of knuckleheads on the internet, you know. But, you know, the whole premise of that video game is you have a duty to accomplish because you love something. Like Call of Duty, you love your country, so you're, you know, playing soldier on the internet and beating the bad guys. It's no different with us. And what Jordan Peterson said is that the Christian church is actually lacking men. He said, he's not disparaging women. He's saying women are carrying the brunt of the Christian movement on their backs. And he said, that's shameful because it should be the men. The women are there and they're very important. Yes, they're needed. But the men have to do the heavy lifting. And so I was like, wow, I was really fired up about that. And I was like, offended and then fired up. So that was a good message. Jordan Peterson, you got me. I might buy another book. So let's see, you know. But check this out. So what we have to do is Romans 12:2. And we've said this here before. This is actually not ESV. This is NLT. It says, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. In the other versions, it says renewing your mind, right? Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. And here's the thing, you guys. If we look at the church as a whole, they're not trying to do God's will. They're trying to do their will, right? I have friends, a lot of friends that are Christian, and I go, hey, come check out my church, and, you know, I'm telling you about it, you know, and I'm not trying to sheep steal, I'm not trying to do that, I'm just saying, hey, check it out, see if it, like, touches your heart somehow. And they didn't like what I had to say because we were trying to do something, we're trying to change culture, and we're trying to not be ashamed of the truth. And the reason why is because they actually behave like the world behaves. So when they hear something else, they think it's wrong. And don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. That's what they do. They're super boosted in vax. They believe the TV. And I'm not saying people who got the vax and the booster are bad people. I'm just saying it's just deception. That's all it is. And we're not perfect either. Sometimes we get deceived. But as a whole, a lot of people saw that as a way of, you know, appeasing the masses. When I was, you know, a young minister, I kind of fell into the trap of, hey, if we're just kind of like them a little bit, you know, then they'll come to church and they'll receive Jesus. And it hasn't worked, by the way, you know. And as time passes forward, the more that they hate us. And I'm not saying don't give concession, don't, you know, try to win people's hearts. Of course we do. Paul said to do that. Be like them, but don't sin, right? But it is sin if we believe the same things they believe, if it contradicts the word of God, you see? So what is God's will for you? I think it's to destroy the works of the devil, actually. So, I think God's will for us is to destroy the works of the devil. We were made to destroy that. How do I know this? Well, I know this because Jesus came to the earth to destroy the works of the devil. Right? So, go to John, 1 John 3:8. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. So your Messiah, your Savior, is not also a lover, but he's a warrior. Warriors destroy enemies, and this is what he's going to do, and this is what he has been doing. So what happens is we've detached ourselves from this identity. We said as a church, Jesus is going to do that. We just have to sit here and be good people. We don't do that. And I said, no, that's wrong. That's absolutely wrong. How do I know this? Romans 8:29. For whom he foreknew, that's you and me, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he may be the firstborn among many brothers. So for you and me, he foreknew us, and he gave us the opportunity to be accepted in the kingdom of God, right? When he called us, we said yes. So he foreknew us. But that came with a condition. He predestined us to be conformed to the image of his Son. That means we are not conformed to the image of the world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind, or by changing the way we think. And so, he did this in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. For you Asian people out there, how important is the firstborn male in the family? See, you guys nod your head like, yes. How many of you guys know their culture was not a Western culture when this was written? It was an Eastern culture. So, the firstborn son in a family had all the responsibilities, right? And so what Jesus was saying is this, that I'm trying to conform everybody into my likeness so I can be that, right? In my culture, it's called the kuya. You know, in others, I don't know what you guys call them, but it's the big brother, the head brother. You know, the eldest brother is the one, the important one. He's the one that kind of brings the other brothers and sisters along. And so Jesus is that in our era, to conform. So if he's destroying the works of the devil, what does he want you to do? Destroy the works of the devil with him. And I love the cultural context, because a lot of people don't understand that, right? Like, for me and you guys that are Asian, we when we read that, we're like, oh shoot, that's super important. For a person that's in the Western world, they look at that and they're like, okay, he was just the firstborn, doesn't matter anything to me. No, if you disrespect the firstborn brother, that's really bad. It's almost as if you disrespected your parents. So you get that, you know, super beat down. I'm just kidding, but do you see what I'm saying? When we look at the Bible, sometimes we miss things that are super important, and this is really important, is that our first duty is to learn how to be like Jesus. And the reason he appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. And so we need to destroy the works of the devil, not propagate it. Now here's a statement that if I had Facebook, would cause a big uproar. It says, because the church did not enforce biblical justice, what is enforced upon us is social justice. Power abhors a vacuum. You guys believe that?
Yeah.
So what happens is we forgot about how God defines justice, and we let people who are godless, without a connection to God, define it for us. And now when we don't like it, we're complaining. And it's like, oh gosh. So on our website, the first thing people see is Ecclesia, the unwoke church, right? So wokeism is the source of wokeism is this thing called social justice. For for you guys in this room, I know you know what this is, but for you guys on the live stream, it's basically justice based on tiers of oppressed and oppressor, right? And you know, you can just, for simplicity's sake, you can just say they just split it into oppressed and oppressor. And that's a Marxist view, it's a communist view, it's ungodly, it's unbiblical, because Jesus doesn't show partiality, right? What this does is it separates people, and it's a direct assault at the church, right? It's both a direct assault and a Trojan horse. Let me explain why. So the obvious thing is social justice promotes things that God doesn't promote, like homosexuality, pedophilia. You know, they're trying to promote that now with the drag queen story hour and stuff like that. All sorts of things, like hedonistic lifestyle, even if you're heterosexual, that's wrong as well. Breaking marriage covenants, all these things that destroy society, social justice promotes. Even before, you know, when Black Lives Matter was at its peak, one of the tenets was destroy the nuclear family. They had to bring that off because people complained, right? But they still believe it. They still teach it with their words. They just didn't put it on the website anymore. But all these things are the work of the devil. It's pretty obvious. So that's the affront. That's the obvious assault. What is the Trojan horse in this thing? And I keep seeing it. I keep seeing it all over the place. My friends that go to other churches, they complain to me because they know who I am and what I believe. They complain to me about Trojan horses coming in and ruining stuff. I'm like, okay, God, what is this? And as I start talking to people and looking at stuff, I realize it's that 11th commandment that I talked about. Thou shalt be always nice. Right? I'm not saying to be unkind. I'm just saying you don't have to be nice sometimes. You can be direct and say, no, that's wrong. How many of you guys got kids? Are you always nice to them? No. What if you were always nice to them? They'd end up being spoiled, right? Sometimes you got to be firm and loud and say, no, you're not going to do that because that's rude or that's wrong. That's going to hurt you. And my friends at the other churches are saying that, well, we don't do that anymore. And I'm like, wow, okay, God, you're teaching us something here. For example, I watched this documentary, there's many hours of footage and testimonies from the spectrum. Whether you're charismatic Pentecostal, you're Reformed, you know, or you're like a Southern Baptist, all the branches of Protestant Christianity are affected. And it's called The Enemies Within the Church. I don't know if you've seen that documentary, but it's a great one. If you haven't seen it, see it. But basically, what they do is they pin people with culture and money. So guys come in, and they have all sorts, you know, maybe you have a great church, and you have a great pastor, and they find the weak links. You know, they find the weak links. So the pastor, maybe he's getting old, and he's getting retired, so they push a dude up that's trained in the woke social justice theology, right? And they push them in. Or maybe, you know, your leaders, and I'm not perfect either, your leaders maybe made a mistake and they capitalize on it. Instead of restoring the leader to the rightful place, they capitalize on it, demonize that person, and take him out and insert someone else of their liking. Right? And they do it all under wraps, under this godly veneer, saying, we're doing God's work here. And then all of a sudden, a couple of years later, my church is all woke. What happened? And that's what we have to protect against. For me, as my calling, you know, a pastor is a shepherd appointment. Shepherd feed sheep. Shepherds take care of sheep. I shear sheep, you know. Sometimes I shear you too much and I hurt you, but that's okay. Forgive me. But but one of the other things the pastor does is he has a staff. For what reason? Yeah, he got beat up some wolves. Because there's a lot of wolves. Isn't it funny that the Bible describes false prophets as wolves in sheep's clothing, right? There's a lot of wolves out there, man. And they are pushing this stuff, destroying families all over the place. And so we have to, I believe our church specifically, because you guys are ironclad, and I applaud you for this. You guys are ironclad. You're not going to let wokeism, social justice, destroy your families. But I think God gathered all us together for that reason.
Amen.
Because we're a united front at this church. But some of our friends aren't. And so we have a ministry. You get it? Our church. Me, you, we have a ministry out there to unbelieving believers, if that makes sense. So we got to show them this. You know, if you tell people this, they're going to ask you, well, what is biblical justice anyways? Biblical justice is the word of God, by the way. Pretty simple. It's what God has said. So in Micah 6:8, this is what he says. He says, he has told you, mortal one, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? So nobody can say, no, that's not my job. No, the Lord requires of you to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. So here's the trick. When people are in this social justice camp, when you disagree with them, what do they say? You're racist. You're isist, or every kind of ism. Ist. Not bigot, Nazi. Yeah, right? They say all these things. And as Christians, because we're good people, we don't want to be called that. We want people to know that we're kind and we're loving, just like Jesus, right? Right. So they pin us into this place where we can't talk about, we can't even disagree, or else it might ruin our witness to someone, right? That's the trap. They say if you don't agree with social justice, you're against justice as a whole. That's not true, guys. I want to break the conditioning, as Alex Jones says. It's not true. You as a Christian actually love justice. Real justice. When you by the way, social justice is injustice, by the way. It's big justice. Why? It's tiered. Justice should be blind. It's based on either a reward or a punishment for what you did, right? There's certain consequences to things that you do. So is it just for an entrepreneur that worked hard to have money? Absolutely. That's justice because he put in the time, effort, investment, sacrifice, sweat, equity, all that stuff, and he gets the reward. Now, if someone murders a family in cold blood and they get the death penalty or life in prison, is that justice? Absolutely. Why? Because they did a heinous thing and the law requires something to happen to them so that people will see that what they did was wrong. Now, what does social justice do? You can take the same crime but change the race of the person, and one person will go to jail and one person will be let out by the DA in a couple days. Is that justice? No, absolutely not. Yeah, justice should be blind. That's why I think the statue with the scales, the lady with the sword and the scales is blind. It's because we shouldn't look at the outward appearance of a person, but look at the facts of what they did. Right. So, if you love justice, guess what? You love kindness as well. Justice is kindness. I remember talking to a Christian mentor of mine who went woke, and he told me, you know, justice shouldn't involve punishment anymore because Jesus doesn't punish us for our sins anymore. And I said, look, and this is a man I highly respect, much older than I, been in the ministry for years, you know, led me to want to become a leader, a church leader. And I said, what are you talking about? And he goes, look, Jesus doesn't punish us anymore. And I go, do you mean because we're saved? And he goes, yes. And I go, okay, we got to hash this out because people can take this the wrong way. And I said, it is true. When you are truly saved, Jesus doesn't hold the punishment of the wrath of God upon you anymore. But if you sin, there's still consequences, right? So he goes, okay, Yes, I'm like, cool, all right, good, good. But here's the problem. When you don't explain it, and here's the unfortunate thing, it went this way with him, it went over the line where, yeah, it's okay if the DA lets these people out. Because they're oppressed. Because they grew up in poverty. So they get to do these things without punishment. And I said, no, if it doesn't matter if you're a Christian, a Muslim, a Mormon, a Buddhist, if you murder someone, you should receive the punishment according to the law. That's how we keep order. Now, can you be forgiven by God? Absolutely. Paul was forgiven by God for persecuting Christians. I'm sure he murdered and tortured a bunch of them. Only God can do that. But are you still subject to the law? Absolutely. If we don't, society breaks down, you guys. And that's what we're experiencing. And so walking humbly with our God is not us making laws in our image, but actually upholding the law according to Him. How many laws are in the books that are not according to the Word of God? Many. Was it that way in the beginning?
No.
Remember our 4th of July service, we talked about how our founding of our nation was based on biblical principles. They didn't even talk about homosexuality because every single person that was a lawmaker was like, oh, we already know that's sin. We already know that we don't want that in the land, right? I'm not saying that if someone was homosexual, you would treat them badly. No, you would treat them justly. As a Christian, you would love them and share them the truth of the gospel. Yeah, absolutely. But they didn't have a law saying, oh yeah, it's legal for them to get married or it's illegal, because they already knew, because they had a biblical worldview, right? And so they walked humbly with their God because they didn't think they were God. They were making laws based on what God had said. But now it's different. We're making laws up, saying we're pretty much God. I saw this yesterday, I think it was, in L.A., there was this accident where 6 people died. This lady, 100 miles an hour, rammed into a bunch of cars. 6 people dead, including a mother, her 10-month-old son, and she was pregnant. Right? So they mentioned that in the newscast. An unborn baby was killed. And I'm like, wait a minute. This is social justice. And, you know, my friend was like, what are you talking about? At least they're talking about the unborn baby. I said, well, that's a problem. Because just a second ago, they said, you know, California, this is California news, says unborn babies aren't people, they're clumps of cells. So now why are you mentioning an unborn baby being killed? How can a clump of cells be murdered or killed like that? It can't. The reason why is they do it when it's convenient to them, to get more eyeballs, to get more views. Why? Because it brings advertising money. It's all about, you know, the God mammon. Plus, you know, I think Tony said it over here, they love being hypocritical. To them, truth doesn't matter. They're postmodernists, right? Truth doesn't matter. It's just what's true at the time for them that matters. And so they'll mention the unborn baby and say, like, look, see, that matters now here, but then when you come against abortion, no, that's not a baby anymore. Magically. Who are they, God? That they can bend the physics of who a person is and the biological structure of reality and matter? Are they God? No, but they're playing God. So when you see the social justice thing, just know, the architects of social justice committed the sin of Lucifer, is they wanted to be God. They wanted to control everything. And so that's what's happening today. Here, I'll prove it to you. There's no tears in God's justice system. Leviticus 19:15 says, you shall not do injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor. Wait a minute! Or defer to the great or rich. That means defer to the rich or well-off. But in righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. So what are you saying? It doesn't matter if you're rich, you're poor, you came from this background or that background. You'll be judged the same. That's God's justice system right there. And so I'm trying to tell people, like, I got a bunch of friends in woke places, and they're saying, no, you gotta support this, you gotta support that, this and that, all these woke things, and I'm like, it says not to be partial to the poor. Now, do we give them a lot of consideration and love and care? Absolutely. We're Christians. That's what we do. If someone's down and out, we're going to help them. But do we give them partiality in court? No. You see, our DA right now, he's letting people go based on their backgrounds, right? Oh, they grew up poor, so they don't know any better. Or they grew up poor. They're forced into this life of crime. Are they? According to God? No. Do they have free will to choose a life of crime? Yes. And they chose that life. How many of you guys saw that the old man that shot that guy that came in his shop with the AR-15 in Norco? You know, I'm not ashamed to say I celebrate that. Right? Why? Do I celebrate people getting shot? No, that's not what I'm celebrating. I'm celebrating there was God's grace on that situation. Right? The guy only got shot in the arm. Maybe he needs some surgeries to get back working again, right? He ran and said, oh, he shot my arm off, or whatever. No. The dude came in with a rifle. It was not California legal, by the way. I saw it. It's got pistol grip. It doesn't have a fin on it. You know, like... And the old man came, he had a shotgun and shot him in the arm, and he ran. And that was the best possible outcome for a situation like that. That was God's grace. And why do I say this? Like, it's because there have been times, like in New York, where the shopkeeper, the dude hopped the counter, and the shopkeeper stabbed him with a knife, and the dude died. Now, the shopkeeper is being faced with charges. Right? They dropped it. Oh, thank God. See, prayers work. But initially, he had charges. Why? Because maybe the guy, he was forced into that life of crime because he grew up poor. No. God says, don't be partial to the poor or defer to the great or rich. They're the same in his eyes. Right? They're the same. And so biblical justice is based on God's morality. How many of you guys have heard, you can't legislate morality? People say that all the time, especially the Christians, when we say, we don't want this over-sexualization of our kids. Oh, we can't legislate morality. Hey, we want to ban abortion because it's murder. No, we don't want that. You're legislating morality. When you say you're legislating morality, you're actually legislating morality at that moment. Because it's your morality that you're imposing on somebody else by disagreeing and saying you can't do that. Do you see what I'm saying? It's the same line of self-refutation when somebody says, you know what, there's no absolute truth. And you reply, is that absolutely true, that statement that you just said? Because if it's not, then you said nothing, right? So, here's the problem. Is that, next slide. Wokeism, social justice, is only defeated by a biblical worldview. I just read this book not Pew Research. What's the Christian one? The famous one. I'll get back to it. But he did this whole study of Christians in America, and only 6% have a biblical worldview. That's self-professing Christians. What did he mean by biblical worldview? Everything in this book is true. That's the basic criteria. Now, you can interpret differently depending on the tradition that you come from, but biblical worldview means everything in this book is true and you do your best to live by it. That's the definition. Only 6% of self-professing Christians are that. So we have a lot of work, you guys. I'm going to end with this example here. This is Matt Gaetz. This was a couple months ago arguing with... what's this dude's name? This gentleman? I keep forgetting his name. But anyways, he's one of the worst ones. Not Coleman Powell. He's retired.
Austin.
Austin, yes. Austin. Yeah, they were... Matt Gaetz was complaining that, we got this Ukraine thing going on. We were rising tensions with China and Taiwan. This was already a couple months ago. Why are we focusing on providing transgender surgery in the military and all this stuff. Yeah.
Not my taxpayer money.
Not my taxpayer money, right? Yeah. Why are we pushing all this, like, they're teaching them the pride flag, which keeps changing, by the way. They're adding more stuff to it all the time. And this is what they're arguing about. Here's the problem. Arguing this with a secular standpoint does nothing. How can you prove wokeism isn't good? Well, what about the empirical evidence of people lives being changed, lives being destroyed, families being destroyed? But to their definition, that's good. Destruction of the nuclear family, to them, that's good. So what is it? What is it? How can we do that? How can we defeat it? You can only defeat it by having people see there's one baseline of truth. There's only one standard to go by. And that's the biblical worldview, biblical justice, what God has said. That's why Jesus' marching orders, part of destroying the works of the devil, is make disciples of all nations. You can't change these people's minds unless God does it first. Do you see what I'm saying, you guys? Now, is it true that you do the work and show evidence, and some people that do have some small instance of ability to listen to God might change? Yeah, that's true. It's happened to me. But I do believe what God's saying in the Bible is true. If we do the discipling of nations, then these won't be an issue anymore. That wouldn't even be an argument. And so, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, I'm going to end with this scripture. So all scripture is inspired by God, meaning God told people, this is what I say, right? Inspired. And beneficial for teaching, for rebuke. You guys know what a rebuke is? It's like a correction, but a sudden one. Forceful, right? Direct. Rebuke. Correction for training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be fully capable, equipped for every good work. How many of you guys know that this is not just for Christians? Well, you can't expect unbelievers to follow the Bible. Yeah, that's true. But they are expected to hear the Bible. They are expected for you to tell them about what God says. You know what I mean? You see what I'm saying? And in fact, a lot of times when you say the word of God, demons start manifesting. The anger, the rage come out. Like, me and Tony, we've been out there, and when you say something that's biblically true, they start screaming. So, here's the thing. This is what I want to end with when we take communion is, let's make a decision not to be afraid. You know, we can start small, but not to be afraid to tell people what God says, even if it might offend them. Because that's our job. You know, I do the hero sandwich. You guys know what the hero sandwich is? So don't try to figure this out if I'm doing it to you, but this is what I do. Basically, if I gotta correct someone, I have to do it in a way that they'll understand, right? So I tell them what's good about them and everything that is how God made them to be and the destiny and purpose that they have. So that's the bread. And then inside the sandwich is the bologna, and I go, oh, by the way, this is wrong. Oh, and then the other bread comes. Hey, by the way, that's you're super awesome, I love you. You see? Is that wrong? No. All of that's true. But what it does is give someone a chance to be able to swallow it. You see what I'm saying? And so when I do this rebuke and correction to people who don't believe, I just do the hero sandwich. And you can do it too, and we'll talk about it, you know? But yeah, that's the message for today. So let's do this. Let's all stand. And this is a heart issue, so let's put our hand on our heart. And I just want to pray for you guys. Because it takes quite a bit of courage to do it. So, Father God, we stand in front of you and we just say we love you. And that's why we follow you. So Lord, when you want us to proclaim the truth to someone, and it requires courage, we can't get that from ourselves. We owe it to you. And so Lord, fill our hearts today, or maybe even our minds. Let us know if there's someone that we need to rebuke or correct, but let us do it with loving kindness. Let us do it with grace. Let us do it the way you would do it, Jesus. Just like the way you corrected people, even your own disciples, you corrected them. Because, Lord, the world is filled with unbiblical, demonic doctrine. The doctrine of demons is alive and well in our institutions, in our schools, in our government, in our corporations, even in our churches. The doctrines of demons are running around wreaking havoc. And so we have friends, family, even mentors that have fallen into the deception of these bad doctrines that are unbiblical. Let us first come into their presence with grace, and then the correction that comes in a godly way, without anger or rage, but firm and direct, and then followed up with more love and more grace, because we want to win people's hearts, even if we are truthful to them. So Lord, I thank you in advance that we're going to win, that you're creating an army here with a small pocket of people who are a united front, that we're going to be a hospital for the woke church to come in, and that they can get healed and delivered from bad theology, bad thinking, but also an army for the unbelievers so that they can join our ranks to fight the people that want to control the world, to fight the globalists or whatever you want to call them, the people that want to be God, that committed the sin of Lucifer, that want to inject things into people, that want to brainwash people. All those people will one day have to bow the knee to Jesus. Amen. And so, Lord, use us. And if we're afraid, let us know that you're right there standing with us. And I know we're going to be blessed. We're going to see signs and wonders when we step out. We're going to see miracles. We're going to see different things. And that is a promise. So thank you, Lord, for us, that you're building us up right now in Jesus' name. And as we take communion, I pray that this would be solidified in our hearts, that every day we would be looking for someone, not just to correct, but to love well. That we love them. That's why we tell them the truth. And so if we have to buy them a coffee, if we got to buy them a pizza, let it be. Let it be, if we can win their hearts and steer them in the right direction. And that's what I pray and proclaim prophetically in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right, you guys. So have a seat. Let's do the communion. So I'm going to do the communion and pray for the fellowship lunch at the same time. So go ahead and get the bread. We're going to do communion and pray one more time. Grab one of those. Oh man.
This is not so, nothing special to say.
Yeah.
Is it Prager you were thinking
of? Prager.
When you said Pew Research, the Christian one?
No, not Prager.
It's me.
It's Barna. George Barna. George Barna. They're like the best ones. For Christian stuff, they're the best. All right, you guys, let's solidify what God did today. If we can have everyone stand up one more time. Hold up your bread. Lord Jesus, we take this bread as a representation of your body, that you gave it up, you bore all the pain and all the sin on your shoulders, that we would be free of sin and that we would live in grace. So go ahead and take the bread. And take the cup, hold it up, and this represents the blood of Jesus the most precious thing in the universe. And so as we take the cup, it is the blood of Jesus that washes away the sin. It gives us a new life, and that gives us a purpose to really help the world become a better place. And so take the blood of Christ. Lord Jesus, we thank you for giving us this symbol of being one with you as you are one with the Father. And so today I pray as we fellowship, bless the food, nourish and strengthen our bodies so that we can do the work of the ministry of destroying the devil. And we pray that in your mighty and precious name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen,
amen, you guys. Amen. All right, that's it for service. For you guys watching online, bye. And I hope to see you. If you want to eat with us, you have to come here. So we'll see you guys next time.